Circumstance. Steve was having second thoughts about the reunion, so he stopped off first at a bar down the street from the thing and put away a couple of shots. The tenure had been different. He didn't have any career he could talk about, but people seemed to admire that here was a guy sampling the world, having adventures, while they were getting locked into shit. But the 20-year, you were going to get judged, and Steve hoped no one pressed him for details about himself. His main objective was to say hello to a few of the football guys he could tolerate and scan the room for unattached women who hadn't let themselves go too badly. The band had started up by the time Steve walked in, and they were going top-heavy 1995. Your TLCs, your Mariah Careys, your Boys to Men. The lights were low, and it was hard to recognize a single person, and Steve kept checking name tags, which had everyone's high school yearbook photo Xeroxed on them in black and white. The open bar was on the other side of the dance floor, so he cut across it, bumping into a couple people who were dancing out of control. One guy gave him a look, but Steve ignored him and set himself up with a drink. And then, sitting at a corner table, holding court to 7 or 8 people, Kevin Mooney. You couldn't miss him. He had glasses now, some gray in the sideburns, an extra 15 pounds, but the same booming voice and laugh. Steve despised Mooney. There'd been an incident at practice one day, and it never went away. Now you had 3 couples listening to him run his mouth, and Steve recognized Mitch Waters and Jay Moore. There was another guy with a girl he could sort of place from trigonometry, and then, next to Mooney, Janine Getz. Steve tried to remember how many times he'd seen Janine since high school, and he came up with 3. Once at the zoo, of all places, when they were maybe 22, at the 10-year, where she dropped in on him that she'd been married and divorced, and a couple years later in line for garlic fries at a Giants game. Each time one thing led to another, and they ended up hooking up for the night. For old time's sake was how Steve looked at it, and it was what it was. But right now, could she actually be with Mooney, or just sitting next to him? Steve worked his drink and waited for it to play out, and soon enough Mooney stopped talking, and he and Janine got up and started dancing. They were smiling quite a bit, and it was hard to tell if things were developing on the fly, or if they'd come here together. Either way, they were sure nestled in close as the music slowed down. Steve had seen it in the movies a dozen times, but had never done it until now, cutting in on Mooney, tapping him on the shoulder, and when he turned, taking hold of Janine's lower back and pressing in toward her. Steve said, "Good to see you, Kevin. You don't mind, do you?" "I do, as a matter of fact," Mooney said, but Steve angled Janine into the center of the herd, which hopefully was enough to deter the idiot. Steve said, "Tell me I was imagining it." Janine said, "Gosh, that's how you greet me? So what's up?" he said. "Well, it's good to see you too. You look good." Steve realized he did look okay after surveying the pretty motley competition. He hadn't lost much hair, he worked out every day, and he got a lot of sun. "'Cause you're involved with that guy," Steve said. "That would seriously taint the old memories." "Really?" she said. "Well, I guess I'm flattered, because you never struck me as a sentimental type." "I'm not, but once in a blue moon, when I'm having an exceptionally bad day, I might bring him out." "So do I, if you must know," she said. "And no, I'm not dating Kevin." "Oh, yeah? Okay, all that happened, there was a party at Lynn Bacalow's last summer, in Orinda. Kevin showed up and said to stay in touch." "And then what? A couple weeks ago he called and said if he didn't have anything better to do, come to the reunion with him?" "Sort of. He found me on Facebook. He lives in Arizona now." Steve said, "Let's get out of here." Janine stopped dancing. You're still the same piece of work, aren't you, Stephen? What you do, he said, seeing as how your purse is hanging off the chair next to Kevin, tell him and his clan you'll be back in a minute. I'll be outside. Steve walked a half block down Slote Boulevard, smoking a cigarette, and when he got back to the hall, Janine was standing out front with her coat on. Why do I do this? She said, shaking her head but smiling slightly. You're doing the right thing, Steve said. You have to admit that was pretty lame in there. A whole lot less energy than the 10th. Did you even say hello to anyone? She said. I did. Tommy Serrano, on the way out. Good guy. Is that so? You play golf with him, right? Where'd you get that? I hear bits and pieces. Is he your only friend from back then? Come on, knock it off, Steve said, but he really couldn't think of anyone else. There had been the hot tub and a fire, and now they were in the master bedroom, holding each other in the dark, a little piano jazz playing soft. Janine said, that was nice. I don't want to say I needed it, but maybe I did. Well, your instincts have always been good, Steve said. Janine was rubbing his chest. So, I'll see you in another 7 or 8 years. Now, why do you have to tweak the mood with something like that? He said. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't mind it being a little more often. We've been down this road. Can we leave it alone for now? We can, she said. And after a few minutes, she grew restless and started working her way back up on top. 2 weeks later, Steve was peeling off his wetsuit in the parking lot at Ocean Beach when he checked his phone and it was Janine wanting to see him, the tone of her message serious. Steve made the one dish he was confident about, gnocchi al pesto, which he learned from one of the kitchen guys when he worked briefly as a waiter in North Beach. He served it up with a loaf of sourdough and a couple large glasses of full-bodied red wine. Okay, take it easy, Steve said. Let's back up and go through it again. It's not complicated, Janine said. Kevin's been bothering me. I could feel that it could be nothing, but I'm also a little scared. Mooney had apparently figured out Janine had left the reunion with him. Steve wondered if the prick had followed them back to his place that night. Either way, it wasn't the ideal development, obviously, though he didn't want to convey any concern to Janine. Well, guys will do that sometimes, he said. Even clowns like Kevin, they're just marking their territory, letting you know they know. Hopefully, Janine said. Wait a second, I thought you said he lived in Arizona. That's it. He's been not only calling me, but ringing my bell. Not sure why he'd still be hanging around. Well, maybe he has business, or has taken some time visiting his folks and whatnot. But Steve didn't like this either, the out-of-state aspect definitely on the radar now. I don't know, Janine said. I'll be honest, Steve said. I'm a little surprised he would show that much interest if all it was you were meeting him at the reunion fresh, no other history in play. Janine didn't say anything, and Steve left it alone. Are you thinking there's a chance he might know you're here tonight? Steve said, tempted to turn off the lights and take a peek outside. Janine picked up her wine and came around the table and sat on Steve's lap and kissed him hard on the lips. Jesus, he said. What was that? It's nice here. I meant to ask you last time, how do you afford it? Steve had inherited a sum from his grandmother's sister who lived in Presidio Heights. He paid cash for a split-level ranch in the hills in back of Pacifica in 2006, got lucky with the timing of the market. The previous owner had converted the ground floor to a recording studio, and Steve reconfigured it into a two-bedroom apartment, which he currently rented for $2,300. Two roommates, Steve said. Excellent tenants. I shouldn't ask, Janine said, but females? They are. Steve knew where Janine was going, and admittedly he had connected with one of them, Kathy, when they first moved in, but that had resolved itself into a working landlord-tenant relationship. Anyhow, Janine said, my dad and brother, they're going to talk to Kevin. Wow, Steve said, trying to picture how that would go. Her dad, Mr. Getz, was an old longshoreman, a tough customer, and Jonah, the brother, was an easygoing guy but strong and either played football or wrestled somewhere in college, if Steve had it right. He said, that actually might not be the worst thing, you know what? It should put you at ease. It doesn't, she said. I'm feeling it might escalate the problem. Well, that's not rational, Steve said. I know. Should I stay over? Geez. I mean, I'm thinking that could be the best remedy. Make this whole bad dream go away. Are you sure? No, I'm not sure, Steve said, but I'm going to pass. 4 or 5 days went by and Steve didn't hear anything further and he didn't feel like contacting Janine to find out. He hated Facebook, but he went on it and searched around for Mooney, and he supposed it was the same way Mooney had searched for Janine. It didn't take long to find the guy living in Gilbert, Arizona. Under status, it said, in a relationship. Steve couldn't find any contact info, but Mooney was apparently a builder down there, and there was a website. He reluctantly sent the guy an email, not saying anything, just asking to give him a call. When he was online, he searched the local newspaper, the Foothills Focus, in the unlikely event there was a report of a guy getting beat up in the area, but he couldn't find anything. Steve had the Thursday night football game on, alternating his view between that and the lower deck out the window to the right, where his tenants Kathy and Lorraine were in the hot tub in their bikinis. The phone rang and it was Mooney. You're the last guy I would have expected to be leaving a message, Kevin said. What do you need? Well, I appreciate you getting back, Steve said, but I don't need anything. You okay? The fuck you mean by that? Steve wanted to get on a plane and go down there and beat the shit out of the guy himself, if Janine's dad and brother hadn't. He said, it says you're in a relationship. So why the BS with Janine? None of your business there, pal. Other than I come up and bang her when I feel like it, and she comes down and sees me when she feels like it. We good now? Steve felt like he'd been slapped on the side of the head. He tried to keep his composure and come up with another question. How's she doing? Was all he could think of. She's fine. She's in the pool, actually. Anything else? Janine's brother, Jonah, lived in Berkeley on the south side of campus. Steve had now found him on Facebook as well and saw that he was back in school getting a PhD in environmental science. The address was in the online white pages. Jonah let him in. He said, Bud, another circumstance I'd offer you some coffee, but I have to tell you, you got some real balls showing up here. Steve said, I do? Okay, dude, now you're playing with me. Don't insult me. Steve liked the kid the few times he met him. He remembered him taking prom pictures of the two of them on the little front lawn of the house on Clay Street. He said, I'm sorry, Jonah, but I'm just not following you. My sister, Jonah said, I'm not about to let her take crap from anyone. What's your fucking problem? Outrageous as it seemed, Steve was slowly but surely putting it together. So you and your dad, he said, you were going to rough me up. We still are, Jonah said. Steve took a moment. Janine, he said, does she have any recurring issues at all that you know of? You'd best be watching your step there, pal. Medications, maybe, that type of thing? I mean it. You got about a quarter second to shut the fuck up. Okay, now, Jonah, listen to me. I can tell you have a good heart, but you've got it all wrong. I recorded Janine saying something you need to hear. My phone's in the car. I'll be right back. Steve opened the trunk and took out a black zippered bag. His friend Serrano was a Daly City cop, 17 years on the job, not that far off from retiring, which was hard to believe. A few years back, Steve had gotten into it with another driver, and he told Serrano about it, and Serrano gave him a taser. Steve went back inside, unzipped the bag, and shot Jonah in the chest with it. That night, Kathy and Lorraine were in the hot tub again. Steve invited them for an impromptu dinner. He told them no need to change, that a nice fire would do the trick. When they were sitting around after dessert and Steve had brought out the liqueur, Kathy said, "You're kind of a weird landlord. Anyone ever tell you that?" "All the time," Steve said.